KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. The Oakland City Council voted 7-1 early this morning to bring in former Los Angeles and New York City Police Chief William Breton as a consultant to the city's police department. The vote came after a packed 9-hour meeting marked by denunciations of both Breton and city leaders for relying on tactics like stop and frisk that opponents say will lead to racial profiling. At one point, a group of African American protesters at the meeting marched out of the chambers. Oakland Police Chief Howard Jordan sought to reassure critics that his officers will respect civil rights.
There's been no talk or no discussions in the department about stop and frisk. I do not support it, nor am I going to condone it. We will not allow officers to do that. We will practice constitutional policing, stopping people based on reasonable suspicion.
Oakland is in the midst of a prolonged siege of both violent and property crimes, and many of the hundreds who crowded City Hall chambers and overflow hearing rooms said the city needs to try a more aggressive crime-fighting approach. After years of financial struggling, California has a bit of positive budget news to report. It's looking like the state will finish out January $4 billion ahead of what forecasters expected in income taxes. That would be the biggest one-month overage California fiscal experts recall from recent history. The unexpected cash likely is the result of tax changes at both the state and federal level, but budget experts urge continued financial restraint from state leaders, warning that the tax burst of this month may mean fewer dollars later on. Meanwhile, at California State University's trustee meeting yesterday, officials called for nearly $250 million more in the coming year than the state has proposed. Governor Jerry Brown responded that such a request was, quote, more a dream than a reality, unquote, saying any funding above and beyond the currently slated $125 million will be hard to push through the legislature. Jazz lovers lucky enough to get a ticket will be crowding into San Francisco's new SF Jazz Center this evening to help christen the music hall. But KQED's Cy Musica reports the center is opening at a time when the Bay Area jazz clubs are struggling, and some are wondering if the audiences will be there to support this uniquely American art form.
Keeping jazz alive is a popular line for many jazz organizations, as though the music is on life support. But that would have been hard to prove at the ribbon cutting and street party Monday in front of the new SF Jazz Center. The event drew a big crowd, and by the end of the day, SF Jazz staff had given a couple thousand people a tour of the new $64 million building.
What SF Jazz has accomplished, you think about this, raising this vast sum of money in the midst of this historically bad economy is, you know, just striking.
Andrew Gilbert writes about jazz for the California Report and a number of newspapers.
The only comparable organization in the United States is Jazz at Lincoln Center. So this puts San Francisco and the Bay Area on the international jazz map in a way that, you know, nothing else has.
Part of, you know, being in this place is really helping us shout to the world, you know what we are.
Randall Klein founded SF Jazz, and he's nurtured the organization through 30 years of seasonal festivals and venues all over the Bay Area.
Every hall that we go into is a slight compromise. This is a chance for us in building this hall is doing something that's designed to enhance this art form. The music that we present.
With concerts, of course, but also educational programs and the hiring of local musicians as resident artists. Music by Oakland percussionist John Santos. He's played the Jazz Festival many times. Now he'll be a resident artistic director for the Jazz Center, programming a week of concerts in March. Afro-Cuban jazz, sure, but also a bit of jazz taiko and Indian music. Organizations like SF Jazz are a buffer, Santos says, against the fickle music business.
The music that suffers the most is the non-commercial music, and that's mainly jazz, because we're not playing necessarily the music that sells the most records and all that stuff. And so for that reason, it's really important to have a place that has this prestige and has this cachet and has this dignity and this respect around this national art form.
There are thriving jazz scenes in many cities, but the San Francisco Bay Area has set a troubled record of late. A number of jazz clubs have closed in the past decade, and one survivor, Yoshi San Francisco, is seeking reorganization in bankruptcy court.
To have another competitor within walking distance of us in a very small market makes the situation even a little bit more dire.
Derek Hunter is artistic director for Yoshi San Francisco. The large restaurant and music club was built in 2006, just before the recession hit, as part of a pricey city-financed redevelopment deal. Yoshi's had trouble from the start filling its seats with jazz and soon began booking pop and R&B performers. The major reason for the red ink, though, is the high rent it pays the city.
So it's a big nut to carry. A lot of other clubs would be envious of just the people and the shows that we book. To this day, it's still not enough to keep us going.
Asked about Yoshi's problems, SF Jazz founder Randall Klein notes his organization has a different financial model from a club.
Every business wants to finish in the black. And how you get to the black is the question in the end.
SF Jazz is a member organization, and it built its new center with money mostly from donors, not big loans. The center's neighbors are the San Francisco Symphony, the Opera, and the Ballet, all big budget nonprofits that can thrive independent of commercial trends. Music writer Andrew Gilbert thinks the SF Jazz Center is part of a new model for keeping jazz alive.
This is sort of a harbinger for the future, that jazz is increasingly moving to universities and into these sort of institutional settings.
One way SF Jazz is building future audiences is with its sponsorship of a high school all-star band. They were rehearsing the other day at the center. Berkeley High senior Elena Pinderhughes plays the flute.
I know many children my age that love jazz, appreciate jazz, and I think hopefully the center will bring in, you know, a new community of people that will get interested in jazz.
The SF Jazz High School All-Stars was one of the first bands to play to an audience in the new hall. For the California Report, I'm Cy Musiker.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, January 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.